1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Millions of Americans are under air quality alerts due to wildfires in Canada and California. Meteorologist Jessica Birch.
We've seen some of the worst air quality in places like Detroit ever. And now we're also talking about air quality impacting Southern Californians, too.
The House Oversight Committee has subpoenaed the Justice Department for files in the Jeffrey Epstein case, and it's seeking depositions from former President Clinton and others. CBS's Jake Rosen.
There's a long list of others, and we've seen the head of the Oversight Committee, obviously led by Republicans, not waver, and it's committing to find out more information about what the government and Department of Justice knows about Jeffrey Epstein and the investigations into him.
Nicole Valdez reports Robert Drummond has been arrested for the murders of four family members in Tennessee. Police were tipped off to his whereabouts.
There was a shelter-in-place order put in by the Jackson Police Department for certain areas and certain streets.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. The federal government has pulled funding for a local camp meant to help neurodivergent kids enjoy STEM subjects. Savannah Tome Olson reports.
Michael Notaro is the director of the Center for Climatic Research at UW-Madison. He started the first STEM camp 4 years ago in Beloit and has added two more in Madison and Baraboo. They're geared toward middle and high school students and inspired by Notaro's own family.
And the goals of the camps are basically to support and foster neurodiversity, to encourage autistic and neurodiverse youth to consider pursuing science degrees and careers.
The camps were funded by grants from the National Science Foundation, but now they've been canceled. Notaro says because it's geared toward neurodivergent kids, the camp counts as a diversity, equity, and inclusion program. Those types of programs have been targets for the Trump administration.
It was disheartening. It was not surprised at all that it happened. It was, had a pretty hard impact because it was right before the summer where we were getting ready to start up our three camps.
The Coakley Foundation stepped up to keep the camps running this summer. Notaro says thank goodness because families rely on this.
These camps help their kids develop advocacy, build social skills and friendships. In the last 4 years, we've had youth from middle school and high school age kids come from 35 different communities across Wisconsin and Illinois. It's across about a 300-mile radius, and it really demonstrates the fact that families are willing to drive very long distances for these camps.
The future is uncertain, and Notaro is searching for other ways to fund the camps. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay. You're listening to WXCO 98.9 FM, Wausau. Real news and great conversation.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A rainy night in Georgia. The Brewers and the Braves playing in the mist. Top of the fourth, two men on. And the Brewers' Isaac Collins at the plate. FanDuel Wisconsin.
Well, it's 3-2 on Collins. See if they send Yelich. He goes. And a swing and a drive to right field. This has hit a ton. It is gone for Collins. A three-run shot. The Brewers have the lead. Seventh home run of the year for Isaac Collins. How about this kid, Isaac Collins?
The Brewers held on to win 3-1. Their fourth win in a row, thanks to some great base running. Pat Murphy.
I still chalk it up to we base run, you know what I mean? William taking off 3-2 there. The threat of Yelly stealing there 3-2. Maybe it changed the pitch that they threw Collins. Who knows? But credit to Isaac. He put a great swing on a pitch.
NFL, the Packers' new starting defensive back, Nate Hobbs, out for at least the next 3 weeks after having knee surgery. The team hoping to have him back for the season opener against the Lions. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A hazy sunshine today as wildfire smoke still sticks in the area. Calm winds barely moving. The same air mass is still here. High temperatures today will scrape the low 80s. They do the same thing tomorrow, and hopefully by the afternoon, the winds will start to kick up, pushing this air mass out of here. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 79.
Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah, it's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off enjoying the sights and sounds of some of my favorite places in Wisconsin. Guest hosts are stepping in with sharp insights into Wisconsin politics and beyond. Don't miss these great conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allball Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allball.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Allball, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, August 5th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along with us for another afternoon here at the World Headquarters in downtown Madison. Overcast skies, maybe on the other side of the smoke, they're sunny and blue, but the wildfires, both to note, in Western United States and Canada, not just one country, two. Wildfire smoke continues to push into the Badger State, apparently breaking up in some parts a little bit more than others. My voice is a little off, though, still, Zommers.
But your hairs are nice and trimmed.
I went and saw Lizzie last night, and she asked me, she said, "Have you been wearing your hat lately?" And I said, "Yeah, but I was at a Brewers game, and then I was kayaking over the weekend and stuff." Yeah, she says, you might want to wash the hat because there's a little bit of a breakout on the hat. And so this is, and my mom will appreciate this because she gets very disappointed in me because I wear a baseball cap for too long, and it gets, you know, sweaty and has sweat stains. She goes, "That looks terrible." But I said, it's comfortable to wear once you break it in. Now, right. I'm not as bad as Brett Favre, the old Packer quarterback. He used to wear his until they were literally falling apart. And so the problem is that I have one, you know, you've seen it 100 times. It's my Brewer hat that I got down there at Miller Park a few years ago. I love it because it's the trucker hat that's kind of mesh in the back, and then the front just has the glove Brewers logo in front embroidered. And it's blue behind that. And I've been trying to find a replacement for that combo for some, and I haven't found it. And I don't know what hit me this morning. I guess after Lizzie told me I needed to do something about my hat. Of course, I went online, Amazon.
Yep, that'll do it.
Although, so it'll be here Thursday, a brand new baseball Brewers cap.
There is something to be said for keeping your old sports hats, though. My roommate Elliot, yeah, big Cubs fan, he, yeah, has a brand new Cubs hat and one that is so washed out and old and worn up. He was wearing that one to a game, and some player came up and was like, "Oh, you're a real fan," and tossed him a ball.
Really?
Because his hat was so worn in.
Right. See, and also you don't want to do your part to jinx anything. And the Brewers are hot right now. They got another big win last night. We'll talk about it a little bit later on in the show. I mean, hottest team in baseball, best record in baseball. 3 full games now. The Brewers are ahead of the Chicago Cubs. So that's in the National League Central. So that is fantastic. The Brewers again get underway again tonight on many of these stations along the Milwaukee Brewers radio network of Civic Media. You can hear the game over the air on terrestrial radio. not allowed to stream it on the Civic Media app, but you can catch the Brewers a little bit later on this afternoon. We'll give you the full details of that game and when where to catch it and when, all that a little bit later in the show. And we're going to play that cut, Zomer has helped me to remember, of yes. Logan Henderson, who was called up over the weekend on Sunday, and then they say you got to get to DC to pitch because the Mizorowski got a little contusion, i.e. a bruise on one of his shins from getting hit with a ball on last Monday. And so he tried to find a flight. No flights available from wherever he was. He was in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And so his parents were there watching him, and they ended up driving him to his start in D.C. It's really cool. So we'll talk a little bit about the surging Milwaukee, red-hot Milwaukee Brewers a little bit later on in this hour. Also coming up at the bottom of this hour, Kyle LaFond, founder and president of and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing and American Province. He is a member of the Main Street Alliance. Going to be talking to us about what it's like, these Trump tariffs, once again going into effect here in a few days, what it's like for a Wisconsin business owner. We hear a lot of this in national news being spun by both sides. Well, we're going to talk about our real business owners and find out what it's like. So looking forward to that. And also, I believe he's on the Wisconsin PBS board. I'll double-check that, but we'll talk a little bit about that, those cuts to the National Corporation of Public Broadcasting that we discussed last week as well. So looking forward to the discussion with him. And in hour two, our What's Worse for Today, grocery store edition. Tomatoes, store-bought tomatoes, or non-dairy milk. What's worse? In hour two, don't call on that yet. We'll take your calls on that in hour two. Now, tomorrow, we are going to be on the road once again, this time from the shores, the banks of the Mississippi, and also perhaps the Black River, going to be in La Crosse tomorrow. Looking forward to that, covering the Leader Ethics Forum on fusion voting. And look, I know that a lot of this stuff is confusing. It's confusing sometimes for me, a person who tries to follow this every day. So we're going to break it down. Because Leader Ethics, a bipartisan group, is going to be hosting a forum in La Crosse. By the way, if you want to attend in person, you're welcome to do so. It is a one-hour program starting at 12:30 in the afternoon tomorrow. It'll be at the Black River Beach Neighborhood Center in La Crosse. There is no fee for attendance, absolutely free, but you must register in advance. To register, go to leaderethics.us. Zomers has it on the screen for those watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. leaderethics.us. And you can register there beforehand. Zomers also put the information in the show notes. So we're going to be there tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Lee Rosch is going to be on this program, the executive director of Leader Ethics, also a plaintiff in the legal suit to reestablish the legality of fusion voting based upon conditions of the Wisconsin state constitution. He is a member of United Wisconsin, this great group that's bringing the discussion back on fusion voting. So Lee Rosch will be with us. He was also the president of Western Wisconsin Technical College for a number of years. Former Democratic Sheriff of Dane County, Dave Mahoney, will be on the program. One of my former bosses, former Republican Wisconsin State Senator and Majority Leader Dale Schultz, will be there, be on the show. And Christine Andrews, the Executive Director of United Wisconsin, as well as Rusty Cunningham, who is a former publisher and executive editor with La Crosse Tribune and River Valley News. He is going to be moderating the program tomorrow. If you can't make it to La Crosse and you still want to check it out, watch it, you can do so by watching a free stream. Again, the website is Leader Ethics. Leader Ethics, all one word. I mean, it's two words, but for these purposes, for the website, it's all one. Leaderethics.us. US. You can watch the live stream tomorrow from 12:30 to 1:30, and then join our program from 2 until 4. We'll be discussing with all the aforementioned people. We'll break down, tell you what fusion voting is and why it's important to Wisconsin and how it could actually help bring about some stability, how it could actually give voice to both Republicans and Democrats and find some sort of commonality here. So looking forward to the program tomorrow. And also on the program tomorrow, Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com with a little bit of lighter information as well. Who knows? Maybe we'll go fishing, Zomers, if we're along the banks of the Black River.
Maybe. Maybe you will. Fishing for snakes?
No. Be no fishing for snakes tomorrow. So looking forward to our fusion voting program tomorrow. Also coming up a little bit later here, not hearing a lot about this, are we? From Reuters, the Trump administration formally axes Elon Musk's five things email. What? It turns out they didn't think it was such a good idea. They're quietly just letting that go away.
Yeah, just like they're attempting to quietly let Elon himself go away, but
very quietly indeed. And we're going to get to what's happening in Texas as well. Some new audio there. The Democrats leaving the state, so far successful in stopping the Republican governor, Greg Abbott, from changing the maps for Congress to help Donald Trump pick up five seats in the next election. We'll talk a little bit about this. But I want to start here. It was on the wonderful program this morning, Matt Nair on Air with Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach. They brought this up, and look, I think it's just interesting as a person who enjoys politics. Former governor, Republican governor Tommy George Thompson was on WTMJ in Milwaukee today, this morning. And Tommy was asked whether or not, hey, you know what? The governorship is going to be a wide open seat in 2026. And we talked about this before, Zomers. The late, great Senator, Democratic Senator Tim Cullen of Janesville, he taught me years ago. He said, Todd, anytime a politician is asked a question, anything other than no is a yes, and anything other than yes is a no. So if you say, Governor Thompson, do you plan on running for governor? He literally said, quote, I haven't said no.
Wow, that's pretty direct. Yeah.
Tommy says he hasn't said no to running for another fifth term as governor in this. Of course, he did not finish his fourth term because he was selected by George W. Bush to be the Health and Human Services Secretary of the United States.
That's, you know, usually what Tim Cullen meant is reading between the lines, right, to see. But he just pretty directly said, right, well, yeah, I might.
Right, pretty much. So we were talking about this on Matt and Aaron Air this morning with Jane and Greg. And because they had discussed it for a half an hour, took calls. It was great. And then I came on and we spent the better part of 45 minutes discussing Tommy Thompson across the Civic Media Radio Network. And I said towards the end of the discussion, I said, I'll tell you this. Tommy Thompson is elated that if he heard this broadcast and now ours, we're only adding to it. He's looking at people saying, you know what? All I had to do is say, I won't say no. And these people are giving me more airtime than the gal dang people who are actually announced.
Very true. Very true.
I think Tommy loves it. Tony, watching on YouTube, says, my first thought when I heard Jane and Greg talk about this was, I bet Todd has some thoughts on this. Well, look, to cut to the chase, I don't know anything. I'm not an insider anymore on the Republican side of the aisle, although I have some people that talk to me. My gut tells me that Governor Thompson, former Governor Thompson, will not run for another term. He's 83 years old.
Yeah, that'd be pretty rough.
I mean, look, he says, look, you know, I'm in great shape. I'm in great health, mentally, physically.
Well, yeah, and if you are, I imagine you want to spend that time just doing stuff you enjoy, spending time with your family.
Well, he's back. He's back on the farm. I mean, he and the First Lady, Sue Ann, I think, did a little addition up there to the farm in Elroy. And he's living back in Elroy. And so, but he's not really. Here's what I think. I think that he's not going to run. I don't think that the family is on board with this. I don't think Sue Ann has any desire at all to be on another statewide race. I don't think his kids have any desire. So I don't think he's going to have the family support. I think in this new era, this new MAGA Republican Party, I think he'd have a tough time making a go of it. But we'll get more thoughts on the other side. What do you think? Is Tommy going to run for a fifth term? 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Come on back. It's a Tuesday edition of the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You may think racial gerrymandering happened long ago and just in southern states with legacies of suppressing African Americans. Think again. Anti-voter legislatures around the country still employ racial gerrymandering to retain political power. In addition to recent racial gerrymandering cases involving African Americans in Alabama, Louisiana, Florida, South Carolina, Texas, and Arkansas, there have been multiple racial gerrymandering complaints from Native Americans in North Dakota and Hispanic Americans in Washington State and Texas. To provide equity and representation, the Voting Rights Act Section 2 allows districts of dense populations of minority voters to choose the candidate of their choice. But elected officials continue to evade those rules. South Carolina's legislature split Charleston by moving 30,000 residents from 11 of 12 of the highest concentrations of black voters into another district. In the words of the lower court, bleaching Congressional District 1. Louisiana's population is almost 33% black, but Louisiana's legislature defiantly drew only one of its six congressional districts as a majority-minority black district, diluting the rest of their vote. A county in North Dakota elected its commissioners at large to reduce the chance of a Native American candidate being elected. Tomorrow, we'll tell you how some states prohibit gerrymandering and create fair maps. I'm Brian Beal.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
To the Todd Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Talking about the one, the only, Tommy George Thompson. Four-time elected governor of the state of Wisconsin. Where did you find that song, Zomers? And why did he ever use that for one of his campaigns?
I don't know why he didn't, but it's Tommy, Can You Hear Me? By The Who from their album, Tommy, which is most known for Pinball Wizard.
But yes. That's fantastic. Well done.
It's all about the kid, the Pinball Wizard, whose name is Tommy.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you along. 23 now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Started out the show here by, was on Matt and Aaron Air this morning with Jane and Greg, Jane, Matt and Aaron, Greg Bach. And they started out with this news and posed the question to me, and I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes following up on it. Tommy George Thompson, governor of the state of Wisconsin, four times elected, was in his element yesterday in Milwaukee at the Wisconsin State Fair. And he went on TMJ Radio in Milwaukee, and they asked him about the governor's race. And Tommy said, quote, "I haven't said no," unquote. He went on to say, quote, "There are a lot of good candidates, and I don't have a desire to get in the race. But the truth of the matter is, I'll wait and see who's out there. I'm in great physical health. My mind is sharp as hell. I've got things I would like to accomplish. And it's way too early for me to make that decision.
Sounds about right.
I don't do as good at Tommy Thompson as Trygve Olsen.
Trygve's impression is very good.
Yeah. here's what here. I'll get to cut to the chase. I don't believe that Tommy Thompson is going to run for another term as governor. He's 83 years old. And I said on Jane and Greg's show this morning, my heart, my mind will always go back to the Tommy Thompson that was governor in the 80s and 90s. Somebody who worked in a bipartisan manner to get things done. Didn't always agree with him on every single thing. But by things like the Lower Wisconsin Riverway, I talked yesterday about my friends Kurt and Florcy and I, we went in the Lower Wisconsin Riverway for a four-hour kayak paddle over the weekend. That was a bipartisan project. Democrats, Republicans came together. Tommy Thompson signed it into law. A lot of other great things Tommy did. A huge proponent of the UW system in this state. And when he went to Washington to work in the Bush administration, had the opportunity to visit him in his office out in D.C., and he was working on measures to protect food sources and shipping to keep them safe that nobody else was doing. Don Rumsfeld, the defense secretary, was sending his guys over to Tommy's office at DHSS to say, hey, how we need to be doing this as a national defense thing. Then Tommy came back. He was the interim president of UW System during COVID and got bipartisan rave reviews as being the premier president of a UW system in how to or a college system on how to deal with COVID. He was protesting. He set up all kinds of free testing clinics at universities around the state. He was pro-vaccine. He set up all kinds of vaccination centers as well as the testing around the state based on his time at DHSS. And I think he deserves kudos for all of those things. And above all, no politician has been a greater advocate for Wisconsin cheerleader than Tommy Thompson. But, and I've talked about this on this program before, it deeply saddens me that, in my opinion, perhaps the greatest political Achilles heel that Tommy has is his lust and desire to be relevant. And I think that, look, I'm not going to name names, but I pretty much know for a fact that Tommy Thompson does not like Scott Walker. Tommy Thompson does not like Donald Trump. But he's played the game to stay relevant in a MAGA Republican world. And that saddens me a great deal because I think he had the opportunity to be an even bigger leader had he stayed true to himself. So, I also think it's just funny because I think Tommy's probably getting a kick out of messing around with Berrien and Showman and Tiffany, because Tommy's sucking up all the news today on the governor's race, and he probably has no intention of actually running, and he's probably getting a huge kick out of it. 855-752-4842. Let's go up to Eau Claire, WCFW, the tap. Gene at Eau Claire. Gene, what do you got for us?
Well, hi. Well, I sure hope he ain't planning on running either, and I remember he did a lot of great things. However, people change. I have always been an independent, and I used to see some good things going on in our Senate, you know, in the U.S. Senate, and even in the state of Wisconsin years ago before the Walker regime.
Right.
And you know, the people that I thought would come to fight for, you know, a republic, democracy, or however you want to describe it, would be these great leaders in different times, you know, and did great jobs, and they've all let us down. Every goddamn one of them has kowtowed to whomever big money is trying to change the United States of America. And I just am very, very concerned. And I could see them, oh, Tommy, you'd be so great. You know,
right. we stroking his ego. He loves having his ego stroked.
Yes, and then all of us will suffer. So right. I sure hope to heck he's not for us all anymore right. like
thanks,
he was.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate it. Kurt in Madison says, for the love of God, get in your boat and go fishing, Tommy. Do anything but run for governor. Why tarnish your run? That's from Kurt in Madison. 855-752-4842. Whistler, you got 20 seconds, Whistler. What do you got?
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd. I think that Tommy should join the Lincoln Project.
Right.
Totally honest.
I appreciate that, Whistler. I wish you would, but he's been on the Trump train as of late. We shall see. Sean, watching on YouTube, says Dale Schultz would make a terrific governor. I agree. I also will tell you he ain't going to run. Come on back after this. We'll talk about the Trump tariffs and what it means to Wisconsinites on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tommy, 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 Tommy.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Wisconsin State Fair is happening right now, but that doesn't stop the Wisconsin State Fair Park Board of Directors from already making plans for next year's event. I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report. Today, the Wisconsin State Fair Park Board of Directors Chairman, John Yingling, shares the details of renovations we can expect to the Ag Village.
So we just got approved in this last biennial budget, $21 million in new capital improvements that we'll be making in the fair. $4 million starts with the Ag Village side. I think if you're an exhibitor, you know that the swine and sheep barn have seen better days, could be laid out more efficiently. Poultry has always been in a tent. Discovery Barnyard seen better days. So we are looking to redo that entire area. It starts with the planning money. That was $4 million.
Chairman John Yingling of the Wisconsin State Fair Park Board of Directors along with us. At next year's fair, you can expect more renovations to the grounds for a more accessible and fairgoer-friendly experience. I'll be back with more news after this. You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
The U.S. Senate confirmed Luke Lindbergh will serve as the USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs. The vote of 77-18 is one that is supported by several agricultural groups: the U.S. Meat Export Federation, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council support Lindbergh. Dan Hallstrom is the president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. He says it's important for the Office of U.S. Trade Representative to be at full strength and urged the Senate to move quickly on the nominee for Chief Agricultural Negotiator. Follow along with Pam Yonke, Stephanie Hoff, Ben Jarbo, and myself as we continue to tell the story of Wisconsin food, fuel, and fiber. You can find us on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report or online at MidwestFarmReport.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A hazy sunshine today as wildfire smoke still sticks in the area. Calm winds barely moving. The same air mass is still here. High temperatures today will scrape the low 80s. They do the same thing tomorrow, and hopefully by the afternoon, the winds will start to kick up, pushing this air mass out of here. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's fun to look back and laugh now.
That was a bad day.
There are marriages that have died on less. Our first actual fight as a married couple was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. We've not really played Monopoly since. When you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game. Maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Play something else with your spouse instead.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, political consultant Joseph Pecky will join us. We're also going to talk tariffs and so much more with Derek Van Ruden and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back across the state of Wisconsin from Lake Michigan to Lake Superior, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Aaron Zomer and Spin of the Tunes on the board off the playlist of our guests this half hour. Please have them join us via StreamYard on the Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and all over the air here as well. He is Kyle LaFon, founder and president and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing in American Province and a member of Main Street Alliance here in Wisconsin. Kyle, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Todd, great to be here. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's our pleasure, and it means a lot to me personally because one of the things we try to do this show is take these issues that are international or national, and nothing wrong with national news and coverage, but I think for a lot of Wisconsinites out there, what I hear when I go on the road and listen to folks is they say, Todd, I just can't do it because it's overwhelming and depressing. And I get it. So one of the things we like to do is put this in a Wisconsin context. And you being a small business owner here in Wisconsin, I want to talk a little bit about these Trump tariffs, new round of them, allegedly. We'll see if it happens this time, going back into effect here in a few days. So I appreciate a real discussion about that. But as we do with everybody who's new here on the show, Mr. LaFon, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the manufacturing world.
Yeah, thanks. It's a long and very twisted story, actually.
That's great.
I actually began my career at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, where I worked as a wildlife biologist. In that role, I spent a lot of time in schools talking to kids about principles of wildlife management, biology, chemistry, you name it. I really enjoyed that aspect of the job, so went back and got another degree. And then I taught middle school and high school science for a number of years. Wow. When I was teaching, I developed this project where I taught my students, primarily in the middle school environment, how to make their own personal care and wellness products using primarily household ingredients. You know, I was sick of all my my younger students basically dousing themselves with Axe body spray and other products that were loaded with all kinds of chemicals and preservatives. Mm-hmm. So after developing this project in class, I basically stole all of my students' best ideas and launched my first company.
That's great.
Yeah, the company is called American Provenance. It's mm-hmm. still around. It's a deodorant brand you're going to find primarily on Amazon at this point. Mm-hmm. And then during the pandemic, we launched a second division called Natural Contract Manufacturing. So now, not only do we make products for our own brand, but we make products for about 60 other brands and a number of celebrities and athletes and influencers that are all looking to capitalize on, again, their name and popularity.
I think this is great, and we just did a show last week out in southwest Wisconsin at Six Springs Farm, Joe Thomas's venture in Hall of Fame beef, and he was talking about this is basically what led him going from football into farming. As he said, you know, as I aged in football and got closer to the end of my career in the NFL, my body physically and mentally was taking its toll, and a lot of this was from the crap that I was, you know, I consider myself a healthy guy. I'm paraphrasing, he said, but he said, I wanted to provide healthy food, meat for my family and friends. And that's how it started. It sounds much the same way your impetus was watching what your students were putting on their bodies, chemicals, and saying, hey, how can we do this better, more naturally?
That's exactly it. And as an aside there, Joe's actually a good buddy. I've been out there to his farm a few times. Yep. I've been out there looking for morels and ramps in the spring and even screwing around on other occasions. So, yeah, Joe is a wonderful example. What a great ambassador for the state of Wisconsin.
You know, you nailed it on the head. And what I said, I'm writing a piece right now on it, a column about Dunn. And yeah, part of the takeaway, you know, the story, you know, he said, I'm not going to the draft, even though I'm number three, because I'm going to fish with my dad. But what really struck me, having the privilege and honor to hang out with him for 2 hours on the air and off, was how truly invested he is in farming in Southwest Wisconsin. This isn't some, oh, I'll live in a city far away and come out here once a month and take photos. No. He's on the gator. He's on the tractor. He's sawing down trees. He's feeding cattle. Whatever he has to do, and he's really invested in the economic growth of Southwest Wisconsin.
That's just it. I mean, people don't give Joe enough credit. I think the one word I really like to use when describing Joe is sophisticated. You know, and you wouldn't think that word in regards to a professional football player, but Joe is a very sophisticated guy, kind of a real Renaissance man. You know, he's one of those guys where my grandfather always told me you should never trust anybody that doesn't have calluses on their hands. And Joe understands that. He goes out and he gets the work done. So more power to
him. You don't have to disclose this if you don't want to. I'm just curious. How do you know him? Through football or what?
Through Chris Borland, actually.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, Chris and I have been friends for many, many years.
Really?
Then our circles of friends have just kind of intertwined and gotten a chance to meet a few other folks through Chris and expand my network there. And Joe is just a wonderful guy. And again, I can't believe we're fortunate enough to have him as an ambassador here for the state, and especially Southwest Wisconsin.
Small world indeed. We're talking to Kyle LaFon, the founder, president, and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing and American Province. So back to your story, I think that as a small business person who did this for all the right reasons, got into this for the betterment of health and people, now you're looking, when you sell your, I'm going to ask you two things. A, where are you selling your product most to? And B, where are you getting the, I'll use the word ingredients or materials to produce and ship your product? And then how are these Trump tariffs going to affect your business?
Yeah, great question. So there was a time prior to the pandemic where you could find our own branded products, American Provenance products, on about 10,000 shelves nationwide. That included 1,400 Walmarts, a whole bunch of Whole Foods regions, and pretty much every significant regional grocer you could imagine. During the pandemic, of course, brick and mortar really just fell apart. You know, if people were going to the grocery store, they were going to buy foods. They weren't going to buy personal care and wellness products. So at that point, we pulled out of brick and mortar. Now the brand itself is online only. So just on Amazon and a handful of other sites. Most of our clients are online only as well. A lot of these folks don't have the resources to take their product and put it on a shelf somewhere. Putting a product on a store shelf is very, very expensive, very, very time consuming. So a lot of folks can just turn to Amazon or Fair or other online outlets to sell their goods. In terms of our inputs and how the tariffs are affecting us, because we're making products for all kinds of other brands and athletes, celebrities, and whatever else, and especially since we're in the personal care and wellness space, we get a lot of our ingredients, a lot of our inputs from overseas. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about Thailand, we're talking about China, we're talking about Indonesia, some of our stuff's from South America as well. You know, if you're talking about personal care and wellness products, a lot of it tends to be a coconut oil and shea butter. Last time I looked, there's not a lot of palm trees here in Wisconsin.
No.
So for us, what we're seeing, even a lot of our scents, our essential oils, of course, those are all distilled down from plants that are primarily in temperate zones around the equator, right? Mm. So what we found with a lot of our ingredients, there were significant price increases overnight when tariffs first started talked about. And some of our ingredients, I can tell you that pretty much overnight, they just about doubled, which is just crazy when you think about it. When we talk about tariffs, a lot of folks tend to think about, you know, finished products. There's a lot more beyond that. A lot of manufacturers here stateside, we get our inputs, we get our raw materials, our ingredients from foreign nations, and we have to pay those tariffs to get those products here to make the products you enjoy at home. We can't absorb all those costs. So of course, we're going to have to pass them on to the consumer. And so I think it's foolish for anybody to think that tariffs aren't going to affect the prices of American manufactured goods because, yeah, a lot of stuff that goes into American manufactured goods is acquired overseas.
Talking to Kyle LaFon here, founder and president and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing in American Province, based in beautiful Middleton, Wisconsin, just outside the Madison City limits where we are at. Kyle, how many roughly, so to speak, how many people do you employ in your businesses?
We're a small and lean operation. Right now, there's only four of us full-time permanent employees. When we do have upticks, we do rely on some outside staffing to help us out. And during the summertime, I do have the privilege of having some of my friends and their kids help out when we're a little behind schedule, which is great. Summer is usually a very busy time for us. So having kids that are not enrolled in school and have some time on their hands to come help us out has been wonderful.
I think this is great because as I travel, I grew up originally in Center, Wisconsin, a town of 5,000 people. I have the privilege of being able to travel around for this show. We talk and listen to a lot of folks. I think that you're representative of so many small business people in this state. You think about the bakeries, the coffee shops, the cafes, the woodworkers, the photographers, the people that take our photographs for kids' senior pictures. They're not employing hundreds of people. It's a couple of families, but all of them added up together have a huge impact because my guess is, Kyle, you're also spending locally in your community. And so it's a ripple effect, and not enough people understand that that's the backbone, agree or disagree, of Wisconsin small business.
That's just that, Mimi. Think about over 90% of Wisconsin businesses are small businesses, and those are 50 employees or less. Mm-hmm. So you think about, you know, you walk down Main Street, and like you said, you look at a cafe or a bakery or a butcher shop, that's three or four people. And those are folks that are making a living, putting back in the community. You know, we want to continue to spend our dollars here as close to home as possible. We're not huge proponents of purchasing stuff on Amazon, even though our clients utilize that as a selling format. Don't get me started about monopolies and all kinds of stuff like that. That's another conversation for another day, but happy to have that one. There is, I think, a growing sentiment, especially among young people. They get it. They want their dollars to stay local. They don't want to ship it overseas. So I think we're going to see a sea change here over the course of the next, who knows, 10, 12 years, when people really wake up and realize that, you know, this consumer spending that we've gone crazy with since the pandemic needs to change and come back to Main Street.
About a couple minutes left here before we have to step away, then we'll finish up on the other side. But again, to get back to the impacts that these tariffs are going to have, agree or disagree, it's not just the tariffs themselves. It's this complete uncertainty for a small business owner like yourself. How do you plan for that?
That's a great question as well. So we're always onboarding new clients. And so every year we anticipate we've got 20-25% of our clients turning over. Either they go out of business or they get too big and go onto a larger contract manufacturer that has more advanced capabilities than what we have. Yeah. What we're finding is that with all this talk of tariffs and all this uncertainty, all these folks that were talking about launching brands or products earlier this year, guess what? They've kind of completely fallen off. They either postponed or delayed or decided not to pursue business whatsoever. You know, anytime we have this amount and this kind of uncertainty, it's not good for any business. Yeah. You know, if you're thinking about launching something and you don't have solid answers on funding, or you don't have solid answers on what interest rates or consumer demand or the threat of recession are going to be or tariffs, those are all things that potential business owners need to keep in mind. And adding those up, a lot of folks have decided to shy away from launching brands or expanding product portfolios.
And I think that's the untold story here in the national headlines is that, you know, I had a couple of different small coffee shops over the course of my life. I was in business with a couple of business partners. And it's like you just want to know one way or the other so you can plan. It's the uncertainty, I think, that kills you as a small business person because you don't know how much to have a reserve. You don't know what the forecast for next year. It just locks you up.
That's exactly it. And as a business owner for the past 10 years, I can't believe it's been 10 years. but having a business for that long and going through my own trials and tribulations, you want those certainties.
Right.
That makes everything so much easier in terms of planning and execution. Anytime you have things that are unknown, that's why I always tell folks, the only thing I'm really scared of is not knowing what I don't know. Right. That may sound crazy. No,
I get
it. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. I think a lot of folks are in that situation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree 100%. We got to step away, do a little business, as they say. We're going to come back, talk more with Kyle LaFond on the other side, not just about small business and tariffs in Wisconsin, but also about PBS and the implications of the cuts to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find the story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, followed by a check of weather. Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, with a report from Packers training camp. And also the Brewers continue their winning streak back underway in Atlanta tonight. Brewers now 3 games ahead of the dreaded Chicago Cubs. That's fantastic news. Michael, updates on that. And then hour two, what's worse, coming up in hour two, grocery store items. What's worse, store-bought grocery tomatoes or non-dairy milk? We'll discuss those hot topics in hour number two. But right now, something more serious. Kyle LaFon joins us via StreamYard from here in Dane County, the founder and president and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing in American Province. Now, Kyle, before we get into PBS, many of your products here, natural products, skincare, healthcare products. Now, what should a guy like me, who tends to be sweaty, unfortunately, Right Guard is my go-to. It seems to work the best. What sort of natural deodorants should I actually be using that are more healthy and not so chemically prone?
Well, I'll share with you the same information I've been sharing with folks for many, many years. Mm-hmm. You should never, ever, ever wear an antiperspirant. You should always wear a deodorant. Yes, there's a big difference there. And so with antiperspirants, they often contain some type of chemical, usually aluminum or metal, to basically clog your pores to prevent you from sweating. Mm-hmm. But what happens when you sweat, you're also expelling all kinds of toxins from your body, right? So if you're clogging your pores, those toxins and chemicals tend to accumulate in these very sensitive areas around your lymph nodes. So you want to sweat. Sweating is healthy. It's your body's way of cooling itself down, but also expelling all these minerals and toxins and everything else. And so if you're clogging your pores, those are staying in your system. And you don't want to do that. So deodorants are great. Deodorants are just meant to basically mask whatever your body odor may be, mm-hmm. where antiperspirants, again, block your pores. And so never, ever, ever wear an antiperspirant. Always wear a deodorant.
There you go. I've learned something new already today. That's fantastic. So, and this is great. These products, these natural products like yours are being manufactured right here in the state of Wisconsin. I appreciate the discussion prior to on the Trump tariffs. I wanted to get into something else that came out of the White House last week that I know you're the president, I believe, the Friends Board of PBS here in Wisconsin. Did I get that right?
That's correct. That's the 501c3 that is responsible for fundraising for PBS Wisconsin.
So it was announced last week that by the Trump administration, well, I guess by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, that they were going to shut down essentially by the end of September because of not just the cuts in the Trump reconciliation bill, but also the fact that Congress, Republican-led Congress, as directed by Trump, clawed back over $1 billion in previously allocated and approved funds for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Tell us just, if you will, a little bit, Kyle, what impact in reality is this going to have for places like Wisconsin Public Television and Wisconsin Public Radio?
Well, it's going to be significant. I mean, there's no way to hide that whatsoever. We were hoping for a much different outcome. We had some, what I thought was very good news heading into discussions around the rescission package. Unfortunately, those did not come to fruition. So what that's going to mean with this cut in funding is right now, Wisconsin Public Media, we get about 10% of our annual budget from the federal government. So we're going to have to make that up somehow. One thing that we've seen not only here in Wisconsin, but nationwide, are a lot of these stations putting together some very aggressive campaigns and basically bring on more dollars from their friends, their sponsors, and just fans. So now more than ever, we're going to have to rely on all of our supporters that have been behind PBS for years and years to really kind of help us out even more than they ever have before. So we are doing some restructuring. We're looking at some programs, but a lot of this is going to come down to alternative ways to raise funds through fundraising efforts and maybe some unique and novel ideas that have been on the back burner for a while, but may be coming to fruition here in the next couple of years.
Unfortunately, about 3 minutes left. We'd love to have you back on another time if you're willing. But in the time we have left here, it's not just PBS, and those are very, very important in my opinion, but it's also local radio across the state of Wisconsin that receives some of those Corporation of Public Broadcasting funds. It could be native radios on out of reservations and in parts of Wisconsin that don't get a lot of media over the air because of topography, geography. But it's also just community radio, folks that rely on that local news. This is going to impact them. Am I correct?
That's just it. So the Corporation for Public Broadcasting realistically is more or less a clearinghouse. So they're the ones that receive the funds from the federal government, and then they go ahead and dictate how much funding goes to each particular television station, radio station, what have you. So there are some stations out there in primarily rural areas, you mentioned tribes, that may get 40, 50, maybe even 60% of their funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So with that funding being cut, guess what? That means a loss of on-air talent. That means a loss of programs. That means a lot of repetitive nature. That means a loss of a lot of services that folks come to rely on. People don't realize it, but public media touches every corner of the state of Wisconsin. You know, we're here to not only educate and inform, but also protect the first warn system, the safety system that alerts for potential or severe weather. That's all broadcast first by public radio and public television. So these are going to have some dramatic consequences in terms of health, safety, communication, education, and just community.
Kyle, 1 minute left. What have I not asked you that you want to make sure people know either about the tariffs or about PBS?
That's a good question as well. I think one of the things that has been on my mind lately is, what does the end of the year look like? You know, as a business owner, I'm always trying to forecast and look ahead. And there are some signs out there that are a little concerning to me. You know, way back when, I had an old mentor tell me that if you really want to know what's going on, talk to the truck drivers. Don't listen to the folks that have the fancy degrees from the Ivy League schools. Talk to a truck driver. So I've always taken that to heart, and I've always done it. One of the things that was shocking to me, just last week, I had a gentleman show up to basically drop off a load at our warehouse. Gentleman I had never seen before, and I'm familiar with all of our truck drivers. I asked him what was going on. He said, well, we had to furlough a bunch of drivers. I've actually been behind the desk for the past 8 years. This is my first time behind the wheel since. So if these trucking operations and logistic companies are going through furloughs now, that's a bad sign. You know, I also used to hear that anytime you saw four or more semis per 10 cars on the interstate, you knew things were going well. Three or less, not so hot. So keep an eye on that for the rest of the year here.
Kyle, you nailed it. One of the best educations of my life was going from Chicago to Oklahoma City to San Antonio with Brooke Dobbs on a long-haul truck experience. They are 100% right. You nailed it. Kyle LaFon, thanks for being a part of what makes Wisconsin great. We'd love to talk to you again soon. Have a great day.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A new report claims America is a safer place.
Violent crime, the FBI report says, was down an estimated 4.5% in 2024 compared to the year prior. It says in every category, including murder, crime decreased.
Correspondent Matt Piper, the smoke from Canadian wildfires is clogging the air in parts of the Midwest and Northeast. Meteorologist Grant Gilmore.
The smoke is going to continue to stream in from the North and West as we head through the next several days, really focusing itself across the Northeast as we make our way through the middle and second half of the week.
Wildfires in the West are also causing air quality alerts. In Central California, Jason Allen has the latest on the Gifford fire.
Evacuation orders, still in effect, were issued as the blaze ballooned to more than 72,000 acres.
In Jackson, Tennessee, a man has been arrested in the killings of four members of one family. Robert Drummond was taken into custody after being spotted on door cams. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.